Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's bow our hearts together today and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to his word this morning. Once again, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace, peace, and your presence. And we ask God now as we look to your word for your anointing to touch us once again. God, we pray that you would anoint this speaker this morning and that you would give us all spiritual ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has for us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most critical elements of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a necessity, if you would, regarding almost any aspect of our relationship with Jesus, is that of faith. Once again, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. As we read the scripture, and if you were to read the entirety of Hebrews chapter 11, you see that not only did great men and women of God do great things for the kingdom of God, but they did so as they believed or had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. From just simple acts of worship like Abel offering up sacrifices, to the mighty miracles that were performed by Moses, the many victories performed by the judges, God being glorified, all of these things were accomplished in a powerful way and in a way that gave honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. Reading Hebrews 11, 32 through 38, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed former foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Great and mighty things, including, and no less powerful, being able to stand up under great pressure. All of these things, the Word of God tells us, were accomplished through faith. Yes, it was the power of God, but the conduit of that power in the life of that individual who overcame whatever adversity they faced and was successful in whatever God called them to do was that of faith. Belief in God. Now the believer today also has great challenges, just as the believer or worshiper of God did many, many years ago. We have the challenge of not only receiving Christ, and of course the greatest aspect of faith and most important role of faith is personally receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior by believing in Him or putting your faith in Him. But there are things that God has called you and me to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope it's your desire to become more than what you are in Jesus and to experience more of who He is in your life. I hope your desire is not just to barely make it into heaven by simply making a confession of faith and then just winging your way the rest of your life. But instead, giving your life to Christ and experiencing the wonders of His presence, His blessing, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a daunting task to become more in Christ than what we are now. And it's something that God desires in our lives. And just as we read a few moments ago, individuals persevered through adversity. God wants you and me to victoriously get through every adverse situation that we might face. And you and I have been called to fulfill the plan of Christ, which is to establish His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Not only the fullness of God in your life as a believer, but the fullness of God in your family, in this church, in our community. And dare we say, and we should say, the world. And to accomplish all these things, growth in Christ, perseverance under trial and difficulty, the kingdom of God being made manifest in our homes, church, and in the world. If these things are to be accomplished, we need to be a people of faith. Now regarding faith, because it is from God and God is alive, we must view faith as something that is living. Too often I think we think of it as some kind of mystical power that we can wield and use. No, it is something that God puts into you that is just as real and just as alive as any other organ in your body. And so as faith is alive, a great deal on how faith prospers in your life depends upon your disposition towards it. Faith as a living, breathing part of us must be nurtured, must be cared for, nourished, encouraged if it is to grow. And if wounded or neglected, will suffer or even die. And so this morning, I'd like to take some time and talk about how it is important for us to grow in faith. For that part of us that God has put within us, that being faith, for God to cause that to grow in our lives. And what we can do to foster that growth in Jesus' name. Now, as far as the definition of faith, it's rather simple. Faith, the Greek word faith, is generally viewed as we think of the word faith in English, a trust, or a strong persuasion, or complete assured belief in someone or something. And I think there's different aspects of our faith as it relates to us as believers. We need to believe in who Christ is, but also in what Christ has said. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 gives us a good scriptural definition of faith. Faith being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's a belief. And not just kind of an assumption, but a rock solid belief. The belief that you might have regarding who you are as an individual, the belief that you have that the sun is going to rise tomorrow, that same assurance towards those things which God has said, but we don't necessarily see in the natural. That is the brief Hebrews chapter 11, 1 definition of faith. Now, there's different aspects of this faith, of faith as we live this Christian life before the Lord Jesus Christ. And one aspect is something that we find out very quickly when we accept Christ as Savior. In fact, we find it out a little bit before, prior to receiving Christ as Savior. Because what does an individual do in order for that individual to embrace or receive the free gift of salvation? How does one know that they can be forgiven? Does God give them some kind of medal or scroll with a writing, on this day you have been forgiven or cleansed from all your sins, and now you have life which is eternal? There is nothing regarding the salvation of our souls that we tangibly... We do have the Word. Thank God for that. But nothing tangibly that we can take to someone and say, I am saved, and this proves it, that would stand up in a court of law or in the court of public opinion. No scroll. But despite that, thousands upon thousands of people every day, may not be happening in America, but in other parts of the world, people are being saved in incredible amounts. People are receiving this gift of salvation and know it. And many, if not all of you, have done so as well. Why? How did it come about in your life? You made that leap of faith. You chose to believe what was said, even though there was nothing tangible, with your name on it. No certificate. No nothing that said, no angel came and said you are saved. Simply the inward witness of God's Holy Spirit upon your life. And whew, we just get through that. But that's not the end of our walk of faith. That is just the beginning. Both in the Old and the New Testament, the Bible says the just live by what? The just live by faith, which is belief in what? That which is seen or that which is spoken. It's belief in God. Even when the circumstances that surround us seem to testify otherwise. It's belief, it's trust, and not just a kind of hopeful type of thing that maybe kind of something's going to happen. But an assurance, just as we are standing in the spot that we're standing in, what God has said will come to pass. Now there's another aspect of faith, and I think it's something that we need to also get a hold of, because faith, If misused or misapplied to our lives, can lead to confusion and discouragement. Faith is not just simply viewing God as someone who is sitting up in heaven waiting for us to give Him orders, for Him to do something for us. I dare say every one of us who have here have had a prayer or have prayed to God and have had that prayer not answered. Anybody have that happen? Oh, come on now. You all put your hands up. There's one scripture that we like to read from James chapter 4. We read like the first part of it, but we leave out the second part. And it's from James chapter 4, latter part of verse 2. The Bible says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." Or as the King James Version translates, "You have not because you ask not." And we've all said that, and that's a good verse. But listen to verse 3. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Or as the King James Version translates, "You ask amiss." Faith is not something that is belief in anything. Or let me take it a step further. Faith is not simply belief in yourself. What faith is belief and trust in God, and specifically in that agency that God has used to communicate to us as His children, which is His Word. Romans 10:17, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ." Or as the King James Version translates, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith, if it's truly faith, and if we're to have that firm persuasion, must be on God's Word. Must be either on His written Word. But how many are thankful that God still speaks today through the voice of His Holy Spirit? And there are, and I'm not trying to tear down the written Word of God. It is essential. It is necessary. It is our guide. But there are things in there are things that God directs us in our life to do which aren't directed or not written out for us in the Word of God. For instance, what role do I have in your kingdom? What is my place? What is my ministry? There is no chapter and verse that says Charlie Sanford is to teach Sunday school. You won't find it there. I looked. I read the Bible several times. It's not there. You see what I mean? How do we know these things? Should we just be like blind guides looking and trying and being people just going hither and back and forth? Or should we be like the Apostle Paul, who knew exactly where he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to be doing throughout his ministry? Because the voice of God's Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. Now, one aspect of a misfaith or wrong faith is, of course, we think of, you know, God, send me $1 million. I don't, and probably no one has prayed that, but some people have, believe it or not. And we know that to be wrong. But there are other aspects of praying amiss. And it can be very frustrating when we pray and we believe in something so badly and it doesn't happen. And it can relate to ministry. And let me, if I could just take a moment. Ministry is more than just being emotionally charged up about something. Thank God for our emotions, amen? They are part of us. But just because you're stirred emotionally does not mean you're called to do something. Be sure to prove out what you feel in your heart God is leading you to do through much prayer. Amen? so that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's not just emotion, it's the Holy Spirit leading you to do what you have been called to do. And I'm not trying to discourage people from doing things. I want people to be doing a lot of things. Amen? But if emotion is moving you to doing something for the kingdom, it will not sustain you when you are tested in that calling, which you surely shall be. Emotion is great, but it's not God. But when God has called you, He'll give you not only the emotion, but the strength to persevere through that. And so it's important that we as believers hear and know the voice of God. And that our faith, what we are believing God to do in our lives and through our lives, is from Him. It's written in His Word, and it was spoken by His Holy Spirit to our hearts in Jesus' name. Now, let me just step aside for just one moment. When I say God speaks to our heart, He can do that in different ways. And it doesn't necessarily mean you will hear an audible voice saying, Mary, do this thing. Or you might not even hear a spiritual voice, Bill, do this thing. But you just might have an incredible burden upon your heart. Again, I don't want to take a lot of time to talk about this, but I feel it's important when we speak about God speaking to a person's heart or spirit, that we understand that God, just as there are many languages, not just the verbal language, but there's body language and so forth and so on, there are many different ways that God communicates to us. And one aspect of ministry, you may not hear a physical or a spiritual voice saying, Marian, do thus and so. But it might just be a godly burden placed upon your heart. Perhaps we'll talk about this more another time, because it's really important to be sensitive to the voice of God. But getting back to faith, as we look at faith in the Bible, we see that faith, since it's something that's alive within us, is something that grows, just like every other aspect, love, righteousness. And of course, as we mentioned a few moments ago, much depends on God. He is our source. I believe Romans 12:3 says God has given every man the measure of faith. But much depends upon us as well. And so this morning, I'd like to take a few moments to talk about how we can nourish or nurture the gift of faith in our lives in Jesus' name. And the first thing that we need to do is to exercise our faith, or to step out in faith. If faith needs to grow, what does that mean then as far as how it starts out within us? It starts out small. In fact, how and a good example of this is salvation. How does salvation start in the life of an individual? Jesus gives the example of a what? A seed. And what is smaller than a seed? Not too much. It's much smaller than the final product. And so it is with faith. So faith is small. It's underdeveloped. And it must be exercised. In preparing this message, the illustration that came to mind was the illustration of the baby, children. And, you know, they're born, they can't do a whole lot. And then some hope, but maybe some don't hope. No, we all hope. That at some point they will stop. They won't be able just to crawl around. They'll be able to stand up on their feet. And they'll walk. Now, my children were different when they walked. My son, we gave him no encouragement at all. He just kind of took off one day, and it was totally on his own. My daughter, I think she was content to crawl for... We had to really coax her to begin to walk. And but when babies begin to walk, they don't start just walking around like we would walk. They start off small, they take a few steps, and they might fall, and then they get back up again, and so on and so forth. Until their legs get stronger, and they get more used to balance, and things of that nature. And so it is with faith. Faith is something that's small. And we like to think of it in big terms. And let me tell you, there is a need for great faith in the church and in the country today. Amen? If we look at our nation and we look at the trend that our nation is going on, what hope do we have for this nation? Not much, do we? I don't feel mentally encouraged by those things that I see. But what is God's will for this nation? That it would turn back to Him and that we would experience revival. Is it possible? Yes. What's it going to take in our lives? We know what God needs to do, but it's going to take faith. Men and women of faith are needed to bring about great change in this society. There's a need for faith. There's a need for faith in this church that we get beyond where we're at to a place that God wants us to be. More powerful and more effective. But an underdeveloped faith is not able to believe God for nations, for peoples, for communities. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to grow. Jude puts it this way in Jude verses 20 and 21, one chapter book. You, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Now, specifically, he was speaking about the saving aspect of his faith. But it's more than just the saving aspect of faith. Or is more than just salvation as it relates to faith. Faith encompasses everything, as we discussed, including touching the nations and so on and so forth. And so, in our desire to become more like Jesus, we need to have a mindset that says, my faith needs to grow. Now, how does the baby end up learning how to walk? By moving forward, by walking, by standing. And so it is with us. Let me share with you the example of David this morning. David didn't start his career by toppling giants, but he started with an equally challenging task. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to face a bear or a lion, but a pretty life-threatening task. He didn't start leading the nation of Israel. He started by leading sheep. But he took these small lessons of faith seriously. And he allowed God to work through his life to be victorious. So that when he faced that giant, who was definitely more menacing than the lion, I would fear a lion more than a man, but this was a giant of a man who was, a mercenary, a skilled warrior with incredible armaments. He was not fearful, but was able to face him in faith. Why? Because God had already brought him through challenging situations. You might not be facing a challenging situation in a great scale regarding a ministry or a nation, but are there not things that challenge you in your life regarding your trust in God? Disappointments. The car doesn't stop. This happens with my family. Conflict at work and so on and so forth. Those things happen. And we can look at them and just get so disgusted. Why do these things keep happening? Or we can look at them like David looked at the lions and the bears and say, this is an opportunity for me to build in faith. Because just as it was not God's will for David to fail in leading the sheep, it's not God's will for you to fail in the little struggles that you're facing, and He will bring you through those things. Through the car repair bill, through the sickness, through the troublesome child, and so forth, and so on. And so we need to view challenges in life as opportunities, in Jesus' name, to grow in faith, to trust God. And then when we believe God for the small things, it's easier than to believe God for the bigger things, in Jesus' name. Secondly, as far as growing in faith, we need to learn how to deal with failure. How many realize, living for Jesus, there are times where we fall down and have to get up? David writes about this in Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. People fall and make mistakes. What happens when a little baby falls? Do they just sit there and cry? Well, maybe sometimes, but most of the time, their minds are on, they want to walk. They get up, and they keep on walking. There are several things that you and I can learn from that as far as failure. Number one, in our lives, failure in some aspect of your relationship with Christ, failure is inevitable. Failure is inevitable. It's going to happen. You're going to pray and believe God for something to happen in someone's life, and it's not going to happen. You might be involved with a ministry, and it may not end up as successful as you would like. There is good that can come out of failure. The first good thing that can come out of failure is that you can learn from it. Why do we fail? Well, sometimes we fail not because of God, but because of us. Because we've made mistakes. Does God expect perfection, or does God expect obedience from us? He expects obedience. In fact, does God understand that we're going to make mistakes? Well, let me ask you, parents. Do you understand that your children will make mistakes, but you allow them to do so that they can learn from those mistakes? Absolutely. And so it is when we fail. We learn different things about ourselves. We learn our weaknesses, those things that we need to brush up on. We also learn different and better ways to do things, how to get outside of ourselves and the way we normally think in a way that we trust God more and are open more to His leading. But that's not the only reason why, or the only good that can come out of embracing failure. One very important aspect of serving the Lord Jesus Christ is being a person of perseverance or longevity. How successful were the prophets in the Old Testament? They were men who were mightily anointed by God, and they preached and delivered great words. But how many people did they have actually follow what they said or convert back to God? Not many. In fact, Jesus, in referring the prophets, said many were imprisoned, stoned, or killed. In fact, Jesus, in preparing us for service for His kingdom, also encouraged or let us know that we would experience failure. Reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let me tell you, you can be the most anointed person there is. You can be exactly where God wants you to be, doing exactly what God wants you to do, the way that God wants you to do it, and you will still fail. And it's not because God is not powerful enough. And it's not because you've got sin in your life or you made a mistake. But there's a third variable that enters into the equation. And that's the human will. And despite all the things that God can do, one thing that God has chosen not to do is to make decisions for people as it relates to people receiving His grace. I know there are times where God takes over someone and people do things that they don't want to do. Amen? That's part of God's deliverance and whatnot. But as far as receiving Jesus or receiving any other aspect of faith, in God's design and God's plan, it is something that comes out of free will. God will not move against their free will. And so because of free will, there is that strong possibility of failure. Now the bad thing when we prayed and we've really believed God for someone or maybe a ministry and it fails, we can get discouraged and give up. But you know, God hasn't called you to save people. He saves people. And his will is to save people, but it's up to them. And you have perfectly fulfilled your calling if you have given them the opportunity or borne witness to them who Jesus Christ is. And if you allow that failure, that person that you knew, and I have, as I'm sure many of you have talked to people, and you felt the Holy Spirit all over them, moving them. And in fact, they might have had tears in their eyes, yet not come to that place of accepting Jesus. And it can be very, very discouraging. But if we allow discouragement to set in, then the person that we need to share Christ with tomorrow or the ministry that we need to start again the next week won't happen. It's easy to ride high on success, but it's hard to plow through difficulty and failure. And sometimes it happens, but we've got to press through anyways. In the name of Jesus.